If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. And I'm Jose Candelario here with Justin Silva.
What up, baby?
New Haven native, blowing it up on social media.
Yes, sir.
Where are you from?
New Haven. You called it yourself. Born and raised in New Haven, man. All my life. Lived right there on Chatham Street.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Me growing up, you know, I was a... I don't know. I feel like my mom was an amazing lady. You know, I grew up in the streets, bro. Like, I was around here. I've seen everything, done a couple things, man. And it's been amazing. I went to Conti at middle school, always got suspended from there. Went to Wilbur Cross High School, graduated from there. Went to Gateway, tried Gateway College, failed there, you know, and kind of the comedy came from that after that.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood and being raised by your mom and stuff. I mean, sometimes tough, you know, times were a little tough at times.
Yeah, but my mom never showed me that. My mom never showed me the tough times. Like, even when, like, people always ask where I get my comedy, like, thoughts from or where I thought about being a comedian, I would have to say my father, because when we did have struggle as a child, he would laugh at the situations and we'll make it kind of fun and everything. So to me, I think that's pretty dope. You know, even when the lights went out, my father said, hey, we about to go still on a vacation at a hotel. So none of us knew that the problem was the lights being out. You know, if the gas wasn't working, we about to go chill at a hotel tonight. We was lit. We like, hell yeah. We'd love to go to a hotel. Absolutely. So to me, it was so much more fun not knowing the struggle. And then growing up and understanding behind it made me understand, oh, he's just making light of a bad situation. You know? So yeah, me growing up as a child, I feel like I had a good childhood, bro. I played sports. My mom got me everything I ever needed. Anything that was a necessity, she got me. If I just wanted it, I had to work for it and deserve it. But I had a wonderful childhood, man. I really did.
What are some things that you learned from your mom?
She's a tough cookie. I would say responsibilities, definitely learn. And I'm still learning, mommy, so don't quote me on that. A couple other things that I learned, parenting, me having kids now. I was always confused on how she did it, you know, when she was younger. And now I'm in that situation. I'm in that area where now it's my turn. Now I'm starting to learn everything. So I seen how she was as a parent, and I would love to emulate and copy that completely, copy and paste if possible, because I think she's just an outstanding woman, truthfully.
What are some of you learned the comedy from your dad, making light of a situation.
Yes.
What's a good story from your dad growing
like
up?
I said, one of the ones I just said, us not having the lights in the house, and he was just surprising us, like, yo, I'm gonna go stay at a hotel tonight. Nobody knew the struggle. He was just like, heck yeah, absolutely want to go stay at a hotel. You know, he came to all my basketball games. He was always the loud one, and because I'm light-skinned as hell, they didn't even know I was his son. They had no idea. He's like, that's my son in the court. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, which one? This guy, this light one. They ran through every last light Spanish person on the team. When they finally got to me, they're like, no way. That is not your son. So they were always in the disbelief. So now my father was always amazing, man. Just a good guy to be around. Always energetic, always smiling. You know, now he's a little older now, so he don't leave the house as much. Mm-hmm. I should have brought him here. But yeah, my father, he's amazing, man. I think the way I was raised was absolutely perfect. But I don't know if I have any stories right now off the top that I could think of besides that one.
Okay, good. You the only sibling?
Nah, there's actually five of us. I lied. I have five sisters and two brothers.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot happening.
So you're in the middle?
I'm in the middle, yeah. I have three older siblings. So I have my older sister, Shaniqua, my other older sister, Tanaya, then I have my older brother, Paulie, then it's me. And then I have my little brother, George. Then I have my little sister, Henna, my little sister, Tara, and my little sister, Roshni.
Wow.
Yes, a lot.
So do you feel like you got the middle child syndrome going on?
At one point I did. I'm not gonna lie. But my mom was a middle child, so I always felt like no matter how I felt, she always treated me a little bit more special too on the low. She won't admit to it. You can ask her, she won't admit to it. But I felt like because she knew the middle child struggle, she absolutely adored me, and I felt like she showed a little bit of favoritism towards me. Still got my butt whipped the most. So that was maybe the favorite part. That was the favoritism, was me getting scraped out of everybody. But yeah, my mom was dope. We got a big family, bro. Thanksgivings were crazy.
Wow. So you were the example.
Yeah, I was the person that everyone looks at and says, we're not going to do what he did. We are not going to do it this kid, because you just got hands and feet put on him. So we're gonna stay clear of that. For sure.
So you said you went to elementary school. How was education for you? I mean, you seem like a bright kid.
Thank you.
Were you a knucklehead in the classroom?
Absolutely. 100%. Always got class clown in every yearbook. I was absolutely a knucklehead. Teachers know me at every school that I went to. And not because how big I am. They know me because how aggravating I was. As a child, bro, I ran them through the walls, dude. Like, I don't know. I had ADHD to the max. They try to give me like these pills for it and all that. And I never enjoyed school. I don't know what it was. I had no interest on learning social studies or teaching me about math or I don't know, all these subjects. Science, I didn't care about this stuff, bro. What am I using science right now in my life? When I'm using science? What do I need to know about Christopher Columbus right now? What do I need to know about that? You know? So to me, it did nothing in my life. And I was like, I'm not going to use this. I need to remember this stuff to be great, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was stuck on that, bro. So I never listened, you know? When we had a test, I barely passed. I get like a C. B. And if I get a B, I'm bringing it home. Like, look, mommy, look what I did. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, dog, like, nah, I wasn't. I was not a good kid, bro. I was not a good kid. My transcript is fights, suspended, fights, suspended. In kindergarten, I threw my bus driver's hat and cigarettes out the window. He got up. He told everybody to sit down. I'm in kindergarten, bro. I'm like 5 years old. True story. He got a bat. I don't know what the hell the bat was for, but he got a bat and he stood up and goes, everybody sit down or else. This isn't a movie, bro. You don't or else us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I crawled under the seats on the school bus, bros. I popped right up. He was driving. I took his hat off and threw it right down State Street. Took his cigarettes out of his pocket, threw it right out the window. Because I don't know if we had AC in the school buses back in the day. No. They didn't, right? We had to, you remember the little,
yep,
and we had to get all the window. I would come in and open all the windows on the bus just to get some air in. But here, they had the little sliding window. The one that they go like that with. You know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that thing was already open. I took the hat off, took the cigarettes out of his little button-up pocket, threw it out the se fue. Got rid of it. Suspended 5 days off the bus. Kindergarten.
Did you actually graduate high school?
I graduated high school. 100%.
Okay.
Big time, as a matter of fact. I had more credits than I needed, because if I'm not mistaken, you only needed 28 credits to graduate, mm-hmm. correct? 7 each year. And I believe I had like 30 something credits, because I had a job at 16. So I got extra work credits, and then I did extracurricular stuff at school. Again, I've never like failed out of school besides college. Everything else I would pass. But it was always meetings throughout the year. He needs to work on this, Carmen. He needs to work on this, Carmen. He's such a good kid. He's bright. I can tell. But we just got to straighten him. He just has to focus. He distracts the other kids around him. Yeah, I want to have fun, dog. Let's have fun. We at school. I'm with my homies. Who wants to learn this right now?
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. We're listening to the story of Justin Silver early on in his days in Fairhaven.
Stressing.
How did you stay off of the streets? I mean, you know, because the drug game is always there and it's very lucrative. How did you not? I mean, was it the threatening of the beatings?
It was so easy to stay off the streets. It wasn't my mother. My mom always gave me the free will to do as you please. You know, you want to learn? Go ahead. My mom never said, stay off the streets. Nah, we knew to stay off the streets. It was that obvious. You know, I had friends that were in the streets and all that, and like hard body, really doing stupid stuff. And I knew at times, that's not what I wanted. So I would get away from that situation. My friends were, hey, we about to go to this place. I ain't going with you, my boy. Handle. Holler at me when you get back. I had no interest on any of that. You know, I didn't like to fight, even though I did it so many times as a young kid, but I only did it because I was defending myself. People always picked on me because I was little. I'm like, what? I'll headbutt you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was crazy, dog. So that's the only reason why I fought as a child. But growing up, it was no reason to. I didn't want to fight. I didn't want to get into fights. I stayed away from all that. You know, if I felt like I was in a weird situation, I felt weird, I would absolutely leave that situation. So I didn't get into too much like street trouble. Never. It was always in school I got in trouble. So it was real easy to stay away, bro. I don't know why. I was never interested in that part of life. That scared me. It really did scare me.
And what part of Fairhaven were you in?
I was near the island.
Okay.
Right near the island. I was over there on Chatham Street, over there by Front Street area. So I lived in that area my whole life, majority of my life, because I lived on English Street too. And I lived on Salt and Star. Yeah, we moved. We moved a couple times.
Well,
but I was raised on Chatham.
Okay.
Since like 7 or 8 years old.
I mean, and that's not really an inviting part of the neighborhood at
it's
all.
Not, absolutely. But if you cross Clinton Street, you're active. It is active right over there by Ferry, Maria's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Bum voyage over there. Straight up, bro. It's a bunch of loose cannons in that area. So I can literally cross the street and be on Demon Time. Nah, I just, when I didn't like it, I come back to the nice quiet spot where Chatham Square is at.
I mean, what advice do you have to for these kids now? Because, you know, you made a choice.
Correct.
Always made a conscious decision. So what advice would you give the youth coming up?
Go with your gut. Go with your gut. Reason being, you know what's wrong, man. You know what's wrong. You know what you're doing at that time is wrong. You know when you're doing certain things, you know it's wrong. And I've always had that gut feeling like this is not a good situation I'm in right now. Let me move. A lot of people try to be cool, man. These kids try to be cool and they try to fit in. They see everybody doing it, they want to do it too. They see somebody with something, they want to have it too. They see somebody making money, they want ends too. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Figure out what you genuinely like to do. If you like playing the games, stay your butt in the house, go play the games. You want to stream? Start streaming. You like sports? Go out there and play them sports. That's what I was always doing. I was always in sports. I was always in sports. I was home playing a game. You know, if I was with my friends, it'd be for a little bit. I'm taking my butt back home, man. I'm not that guy with the scenery. So just go with your gut feeling. You know what's right. You know what's wrong, man. Stay away from the LWOs, I like to call them, because they are so easily to be attracted to.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Let's go back. we're going to go back to Big Turtle.
Oh, Big Turtle Village.
The first time you're on stage, Rafael Ramos told me that you were electrifying the very first time you were out there.
That's a blessing that he said that. That's like my uncle. So I hope he wasn't just being that. I hope he meant that. But yeah, I love Ralph Ramos first off. That I love you, Ralph. If you ever hear this, you're amazing. He's absolutely like my uncle to me. Got me out of so much trouble. You have no idea. Always opened his house to me. But I'm glad he said that because I was very nervous that day for the show. It was my first comedy show that I ever put together before in my life. He let me use his spot to do it. We sold that sucker out. I think he can only fit about 100 people in there. Sold that thing out, man. And I was just so honored and so happy to be able to do comedy, do something that I genuinely love, and then to see that I had that much support, you know? And I sucked then. So if he laughed a little bit then, I'm happy. I was terrible. At least I think I was.
How did you feel for the first time on stage?
Nerve-wracking, dude. I couldn't even fart. I was so nervous. Well, my butt was tight, dog. I was freaking the heck out. I didn't know who to trust. My very first time doing comedy was actually at downtown New Haven, open mic at Pacific Tavern. Mm. It was right across the street from the garage. You know that little noodle spot over there near Co-op? Right across the street from the garage, I performed there, and so many people came. I couldn't believe it. And I was only doing 5 minutes. All I did was put a Facebook post, hey, about to do open mic for the first time. Meet me here, you know? And that's how you know I ain't have no bad blood, because everybody came and showed up and showed love. Anybody else say meet me here, you might get caught up, stuck up, you know? I won't put my location now, though. I don't know who to trust. Don't tell anybody we're here, brother, till we leave.
have you known that you were always well-liked? I mean, have you ever had that sense that you have that?
I've always told, even my wife, I tell her, if somebody doesn't like me, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't do anything to anybody. I mind my business. I don't feed into the negative stuff. Even when there's stuff online happening, I don't really give my input. People are like, how you feel about that? I'll giggle, I'll laugh, and say, hey, it is what it is. To each its own. You know, I'm pretty sure whatever people feel is how they feel. The way I feel is the way I feel. Like, but I don't know. I've always felt like people loved being around my energy, and I appreciated them for that. I know I love to see people laugh. So that was always my end goal, no matter what conversation we were always having. You know, my goal was to see your teeth. I want to watch you smile. Like, that's the goal. It feels good to see that, You know, I really love it. You're not trying to show your teeth now, and I respect it. I'm going to get you the crack.
Tell me a little bit about being your genuine self and how important that is navigating the field that you're in now.
I think it was the biggest blessing God gave me was to be 100% authentically me, genuinely. And the reason why I say that was because there's so many facades you can put on in life. Even, you know, even people we know, we see them act one way on social media. And then when you meet them in person, it is a totally different thing. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it was like, for me to be able to make a living doing what I'm doing already, like, you know, just being me, being stupid, to me, it's so dope. It's so dope. And I'm happy God blessed me with that. Seriously. You gotta be 100% you. I feel like it works for me because when I'm on stage, it works in my favor. People be like, yo, you stupid. I'm just being me, dog. So if you think I'm stupid, I believe you, you know, but I'm just being me and I'm grateful. I think it works.
Very good. You are listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC. And if you hear a baby in the background, that's because Justin Silva.
I brought my baby.
Is a family man and has, and you do a lot. I mean, you, what made you get into social media and was, what was your inkling to get on there?
Well, I've seen a lot of people doing funny videos and I seen where that success was able to bring them. And I knew that social media was a wave at that time where I was coming up and as it is now, you know.
What year was this? What are you first
started? I want to say I just started doing content like that probably around 2014, 2015, because I was going to school. I went to school for electrical because I failed college and I started recording myself as an electrician, not doing work. Oh, my God. Oh, my foremans hated Justin Silva. If I ever worked for any foremans for C-Mac Electric, that was the company, they hated me. They hated, but they loved me. Like, they loved when I was around. I always made everybody happy and laugh, especially on lunch break. Awesome. But when I was actually time to do work, they're like, this kid, what are you doing up there in the ceiling? I'm like, I'm just wiring things up. And I'd catch our conversations and people would want me to post those videos. I post those videos. One comment turned into five turned into 10, 10 turned to 20, 20 turned to, like, bro, it was just working. It was happening. And then I was like, all right, let me try comedy. I tried the comedy. It went well. People showed love. Then I stepped doing open mic, kept doing open mics. Then I met her. And then when I met her, I went even harder on the videos. I went even harder. She met me because people, my videos were working, obviously, because when she had met me, they actually, her brother-in-law went up to her and told her that I was the funny guy from Facebook. So I was doing some. I just wasn't that top dog, you know? And that's how me and her ended up linking up. And then one of my first dates is her coming to my open mic comedy show, straight up. So social media, it was very important for me. And I feel like it opens a lot of doors, man. It really does. It is the new TV right now, 100%.
So you make your transition into social media. You found its power, you harness it, but what were your learning? What were your learning steps early on?
Stay consistent, because I noticed whenever I did videos and they didn't perform the way I wanted to, I would fall back and think it was me. And when I finally was consistent with videos, it's like everyone's not going to like everything you do. Everyone's not going to like it. You keep putting videos out there. Now you're giving them a chance to see the different things that you're able to tap into. And now everyone kind of loves what I do now. So it was a wild transition, but it was a lot of self-reflection I needed to stay consistent without it. I mean, throughout the process. If it wasn't consistent, I wouldn't be here. I can promise you that. But I feel like that's what anything you do in life.
So what prompted you to move away from Connecticut?
Me knowing that I wasn't, even they say it in the Bible, even Jesus wasn't a prophet in his own city. You know what I'm saying? So I had to leave. I wanted to get comfortable at being uncomfortable. You know, I wanted to get out of my scenario. I wanted to get out of the situation I was in. And if I kept doing the same thing over and over, nothing was going to change. You know, I wanted to change years before I made the move and it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. I don't want to blame New Haven, because to me, I think New Haven made me, and New Haven's amazing. There's so many opportunities out here, but you got to figure out what you want and lock in with that opportunity. If I was as hungry as I was in New Haven, the way I was in Florida, I probably would have still done the same thing. I would have still made it happen. You know, I just moved away. I had no friends. I had no family out there. You know, it was just, it wasn't nobody out there. It was just me, wifey, and the kids. So I'm like, yo, let's get it. Let's get these videos up. I'm home. I'm chilling. I'm not doing nothing. This is funny. Ashley's funny. My kids are funny. I'm like, we got to record this. We got to record this, man. And again, I love making people smile. So that was, it was needed. I needed to move. I needed to move for sure. If I didn't move, it would have took me longer to be where I'm at. I would eventually got it. But me moving made it happen quicker. It made me realize quicker what I needed to do to lock in.
Lack of distraction, would you?
100%. I was very distracted. I was very distracted. I was being stupid. She'll tell you, I almost messed that up a couple times being out here. You know, again, me being a popular dude in New Haven, I had my fair share of fun, you know, opportunities with people. And so because of that, that was easily distracted. I go to a bar turning a drink turning to stupid decisions, and it just wasn't worth it. It just wasn't worth it. And even in Florida, it's that you can do the same thing. You know, I'm still handsome in a different city. The same stuff could have happened in Florida. I just decided for it to not happen. I was like, let me just make it happen. Nobody knows me out here. Let's lock in. You deserve her. And she definitely deserves you, you know. So I was like, let's make this thing happen, man. You know, now we married. Now we got 5 kids instead of the 3, instead of the 4. I'm blessed, man. I really am. I'm so glad I left.
Going away from home, I mean, that's a risk.
Yeah. Scary one.
You have to take risk in order to make things happen.
100%. 100%.
Can you advise these kids, whoever's listening, mm-hmm. the importance of taking risk?
It's a huge leap of faith, but I put risk as like this. When you're taking a risk, bet on yourself. That's the best way I can put it, because it's your risk. But don't take a risk and ready to be lazy if it doesn't work the first time. A risk is for a risk because you have to keep on doing it. Mm-hmm. It's not just a one-time risk. No, every time I hop on that stage, it's a risk. Something can go bad. I can mess up. It's a risk in everything we do. You know, so I take every risk, but if I didn't take the risk to be a comedian, if I didn't take the risk to go do open mic, if I didn't take the risk to go to drive an hour to Mohegan twice a week to practice, if I didn't take those risks, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. There's times I had no money in my account and I'm still making that drive. Don't even know how I'm getting the gas money, praying that people come to the show so I could get paid $20. That's a risk. That's a risk, man. And it was worth every single second I've done because of comedy. It was absolutely worth the risk. And I'm so grateful for it. You have no idea. So if you're going to take the risk, but bet on yourself.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario here with Justin Silva. Now, let's talk about building your clientele and your following. Mm-hmm. Consistency is one of them. The main one of consistency, number one.
Yep.
Would you say interaction and with your following?
You're smooth. That is very smooth. Yeah, that works so much. Because imagine if somebody that you look up to talks to you or responds to you. You're going to be their friend forever. You're going to love them forever. Even if they never write back to another one, you're going to live by that comment. So now every chance I get, first couple people that comment, yo, you stupid. I love you. How are you? People DM me, I write back. I ain't got not one missed DM, unless it's Facebook. Facebook, too many. It's too many up there. But on Instagram, I write back every last person that ever DM me. If I get it and I see it, I write back. If it says seen, I wrote back. 100%. Interaction is a wonderful thing for that. And connecting with people. The power of hi. How you doing? How are you? The pop, bro, that people don't do that enough. People don't do that. We walk by people sometimes, right? They give us that little white smile, right? They give us that little quick, little cheap white smile, right? Keep it pushing. You hold the door open for somebody, thank you. Then they say you're welcome. Just, you know, it's that, yo, how's your day going? How you doing today? How's everything? When I go to Starbucks, get asked your stuff. Hey, sir, can I help you? How you doing, sweetheart? How's your day? Oh my goodness, my day's amazing. Thank you for asking. Absolutely. All right, now we can order. You know, just ask people, how are you doing? I was at a comedy show one time. I was in Arizona, probably like a month and a half ago, 2 months. And the servers, they're coming in, they're taking care of me. They're amazing. Whatever I need, they got it. One of the random server came in. She's like, can I get you anything else? I'm like, no, we're good. But my love, quick question. What's your name? Oh, my name's Sarah. I'm like, all right, Sarah, thank you so much. She goes, thank you for asking for my name. Now, after that 10 minutes, I went to go to the bathroom. She seen me walking. She goes, I just want to let you know you are the best, by far, one of the nicest and best comedians I've seen because I've worked here for years. Nobody asked me what my name is. Nobody. So now I just gained a fan. She didn't even know who I was, big dog. She had no idea who Justin was. Now I gained a fan. Now she'll come to the show. He's a sweetheart. Okay, she's going to bring her friends. Now her friends going to see that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's going to bring her family. Her family get to see that. So the power of actually being nice, bro. You know how people say treat people the way you want to be treated? Mm-hmm. That's serious, bro. That is such a serious comment.
You have a million followers on average on every single platform except Truth Social. I don't think that's the only one you're not really.
Which one?
That's the Trump one.
Yeah, I should get it, right? Just to be into the politics. Maybe I get some fans over there on that side. I am so not into politics, bro. I don't get it.
But how do you stay so humble? I mean, you know, normally people, you know, that's the first thing that they say, you know, oh, I can't got all these followers. But you maintain, you seem very grounded.
I don't talk about my followers. That's why I don't bring them up. I don't make my followers. My followers make me. You know, and what I mean by that, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for each and every one of them. And I know that, you know, for anybody out there that's like, oh, I'm going to do this regardless. With who? You know, like, you're going to do this without them? You're going to do this without people buying tickets to your show. You're going to do this without people supporting you and buying the clothes. You're going to do this regardless without nobody knowing you. You're going to do it. Your God got me. That's, use God. But you got to put the work in. You got to be nice. You got to be genuine. You got to be you, you know? And to me, I think that was very important. I'm very honored to be in the situation I'm in. I'm very happy and grateful for what God has done for my life. So every chance I get, it was God, obviously, that set this up. But now it's my turn to show that love and gratefulness and happiness side of life and peacefulness. You know, do I argue? Yeah, bro, I do that behind closed doors, though, with the wife. That's me and her. That's our business. We handle that. We get back to regular life. We talk. We figure it out, and we on it. We don't stay mad. There's no reason for that, man. So you got to be humble, bro, no matter who you are. I don't care if you're the best dude in New Haven, if you're the illest basketball player in the world. I don't care what it is. Stay humble, dog. Yeah. You can be confident. Do not be arrogant. Do not be cocky. You know?
And that's how you stay grounded.
That's how you have to. Absolutely. That's how I stay grounded. A little bit of prayer, a little bit of smiles, and hey, how you doing?
Talking to everyone and anyone.
Absolutely. Ask everybody that just came to the parade. They see me. How are you? I walk up to them, double hand, grab their hand. Such an honor to see you, man. Thank you for coming out. You could have been anywhere and you decided to bless me with your presence. I appreciate you.
Etiquette, respect. I mean, are these the things that you learned from your parents and stuff?
Yeah, 100%. Because if I didn't, I get popped. if somebody ever said hi to me, right, and I was with my mom, and I didn't say hi back, I'm getting my ear pulled. I'm getting popped in the mouth. Oh, I'm getting one of these. Let's go to the bathroom real quick. And those, you know, I come out a new man. Hi, you doing? You know what I'm saying? Now I'm crying. It's different now. So you learn enough about that. And then seeing my father, how he handles himself in the corporate world and then in real life. When I used to play basketball, I played basketball at Farnham. My father come in there and he like demanded that attention. I don't know what it was. See, he would walk in and everybody looked our way. And he's just smiling. Wonderful smile. Just smiling at people. Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on, young fella? How you doing? Mr. George, what's going on, Rockhead? How you doing? Say hi to everybody, man. Say hi to everybody. Your hi can really make someone's day, bro. I promise you. Say it enough. Watch what happens.
Where you at now? And how do you measure success?
Once I hit a million followers, right? And I noticed it didn't do nothing for my life. And what I mean by nothing for my life, I mean it didn't make me change or feel a different way. I was quick. It was happy. It was a high. I was happy for like a day. And then immediately when it hit me, it's like, what's next? 2 million is next. After 2, 4. After 4, 8. What's next? You know, right now I got 4.9 million followers on TikTok. All right, cool. Now I want 5 million. Now I want 10 million. What's next? I'm never satisfied. And that's why, to me, success isn't where you're going or where you're at in life. That's a quick little pinnacle of your life. That's it. To me, success is happiness. You know what I'm saying? Success is your family. Success is winning in life. You know, how you feel inside. If you're happy with what you're doing inside, you're successful. And can't nobody take that from you at all. And I'd be damned if someone tried to. You know what I'm saying? If I find out, I'm like, yo, look who's telling you you're not successful. Look at their life. And this is who it's coming from. This is the person that's telling you you're not successful. Does it hurt anymore? No, it doesn't. Now ask them what's their definition of successful. Their definition is probably money, cars, girls. You know, that's their definition. All right, cool. If that's success, get there. Then tell me how you feel after you have it all. You will not feel nourished. You won't feel done. You won't feel like you are complete. You won't. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now. I've made the most money I've ever made so far in my life. I'm still not content. Still not content. I thought money was going to bring all my problems away. Nope. Have more problems. Now I'm in more debt. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all it is, bro. Money was never the thing. For me, like, I as soon as I thought money was going to be the answer, I started making money. I'm like, this isn't the answer. It's not making me happier. The money's not making me happier. I don't wake up, look at my account, and be like, woohoo. No. Blessed. Thank you, God, for letting me have it. You know, but what makes me happy, my kids, my wife, seeing people laugh, seeing people come to the shows, you know, just walking around, seeing people enjoy their job. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. I had somebody make me some Dunkin' Donuts the other day. She's happy as could be. That's success. That's success, dog. It don't matter where you work at. You happy with your job? You happy with what you do? You successful.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go. What's next for you in Hollywood? I mean, you know, you're navigating now agents and management and stuff. I mean, you're nearing those plateaus now.
It's amazing.
How is it navigating all that? And what are your learnings, you know, in this part of the process?
I'm learning things is getting real. Things is getting real. What I mean by that, this is a business at the end of the day. And that's what I'm starting to learn is the business side. Because when I joined it, I said, this is fun. I want to keep it fun. I want to continue to have fun. And every time I'm on that stage, I am having fun. When on the outside making them things work, that's where the agent comes in. That's where the managers come in. They keep that headache away from me. They deal with all the headaches. I pay them for their job. They take care of me on my end. You know what I'm saying? So I've learned patience with them. I've learned promotion. That's very important. I've learned financial advising. You know, they help me with that as well. So it's like, I don't know. I learned something new every day first off with them, but having them is definitely making things way less of a headache and it makes it for me to keep having fun. I still feel like a child. I still feel like a kid. I'm not going to lie to you. So I'm still grateful.
I mean, growing up in the hood, how do you keep your circle now? Have you learned how to keep a nice, good circle around you?
Yeah. I still got the same best friend, Trav. You know, he's my best friend since I was like freaking 4 years old. Still my best friend. Love him to death. And the friends that I grew around with, now, I see him, I show him love. You know, if they have my numbers for a reason, if they don't, it's definitely for a reason. You know, we're not best friends. We're not what we used to do in high school, you know, but it's definitely much respected and mutual love and respect for each other. You know, they see me, they congratulate me. I see them, I congratulate them. Mm. You know, that's all it is. We just keep that respect. My circle is definitely tighter. There's not, you know, people don't know where I live at. They used to, everybody used to know where I live. You know, nobody know where I live at now. So privacy is something also that I've had to get used to that I wasn't. I used to walk outside on live, you know, like, hey, it's lit. So my address here. All right, do that now. Go ahead, boy. See what happened.
Times have changed.
Times is absolutely changing. But yeah, my circle has gotten smaller, but in a bigger way. Mm-hmm. Smaller in a bigger way. The people I have around me are awesome people. The people I had around me before, not going to call them bad. They weren't bad. But you can tell the use that they had for you, or that they're more of the take. Mm-hmm. Now the people I'm around, all they want to do is give. And I've been like that my whole life. All I do is give. Give, give, give. That's what I want to do. Even when I didn't have it, bro, I gave.
Can you attest to how much hard work it takes to be where you at? Because people, you know, always see from the other side and think, oh, look, it, overnight success.
Mm-mm. It wasn't nothing overnight about me at all. And I think school is, I think personally school is very important, man. I'm not going to lie. It does teach you a lot. I think there should be other things that schools teach you as far as when it comes to reality. We can get into that another day. But school teaches you a lot. And I feel like, especially when it comes to respect, we need that. Kids lack that. Like a lot, bro. I don't know if you see what I see in this world. Kids lack respect. And it's silly. Because that's what I was raised on. Like, I had to be respectful. And I feel like schools, when you respect your teacher, you're learning something. You respect your principal more than you respect your teacher sometimes, because people see the levels to that. You know what I'm saying? So I know that's very important. But wasn't nothing overnight about this, bro. At least I don't think so. I don't think so. I didn't wake up with 1 million followers. Mm-mm. Each and every month, it was growing. But I had to keep putting work out there. Because I seen when I stopped one time, it stopped growing. Ain't about to grow by yourself. People ain't about to live from your old videos. No, they see it one time, they like it. Share it around for a couple times. That's it. Safe way. Now, keep giving them something to watch, man.
Wow.
People going to watch you anyway. Give them something to watch.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. And now we are joined with the partner in crime to Justin Silva, Miss Ashley. How in the world did you get dragged into this duo of comedy on social media?
On the videos, I guess because of my accent. He started making fun of my accent. He just started recording me. It was only my voice at first. And then everybody started asking, like, oh, let me see her. That's when he introduced me into the videos. And I guess everybody loved it.
Absolutely.
What is the secret to the husband and wife team? Is it just putting up with him?
Yes.
Glad she said it, because I was going to say it if she did.
Putting up with him, yeah. That would be.
I play too much. That's what it is. I play too much. And I kind of rubbed up on her because she played too much, bro. She just tried to act like, she just did a video with me trying to rob me. She was that bored. I'm playing the game. She dressed up into her face mask, a hoodie, a hat. And ran in the house. She left out the back door, came through the front, playing the whole thing out. Scared the crap out of me.
But yeah.
Like, you're bored. You play too much now.
Yeah.
What is the secret to the relationship now that you're in the limelight to maintain that connectivity?
1, 2, 3. Communication.
Absolutely. Communication. Understanding also that communication, I will say. Keep the, you know, the good times, like laughs. Don't always take everything too serious. Yes, it's serious, but try to always, you know,
find the happy in it.
Yes, find the happiness in it.
And then keep God first.
Absolutely.
That has been,
God,
I think, the
number one.
I think that's been the main thing for us.
How do you feel paving the way for couples on social media now that you have become a power couple?
I'm glad, man. Yeah. I'm glad that people are able to see us and look at us in any type of icon way or any type of relationship go away. I just want them to know it ain't easy.
Yeah, just so, because a lot of people think we have a perfect relationship, and that's not the case.
Yeah, I just wanted to have butter last night.
It started really, really hard. I had a lot of patience with him, also him with me. So I feel like you got to always keep that present. You know, you got to always know that it's hard. You got to work. It's hard work to have a good relationship, you know, communication. I'm telling you, like, that's the number one, because if that, you don't have that, then
you're done.
You're not going to be on the same page for anything.
Any final words you want to share with our audience here in New Haven, Mr. Justin Silva?
Shout out to my wifey. She always right here, my rider. Any advice? Yeah, my t-shirts just went on sale, man. I got t-shirts, we got hats, we got hoodies, man. So you click the link in my bio, my Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever you want. T-shirts are on sale now. I'm happy I finally got my gear out there. Yeah, Justin Silva. It's the link's in my bio.
JustinSilva.com.
It had my comedy shows up there and and you can purchase gear from there. I'm saying, what's next, man? We're gonna do it. We're gonna try to get on
That's
Netflix.
That's always something. Yep.
We're gonna try to get on Netflix, man. We're gonna try to get on HBO. We gotta keep shooting for the stars, man. So many of them out there. I have options.
You accomplish something. Okay, what's next?
Told you. It was an honor. I appreciate you for having me.
Thank you, Justin, for coming through. I appreciate everything and your shares. You can find Justin Silva on Instagram and Facebook under Justin Silva, JustinSilva, with his lovely wife, Ashley. This has been the Electric Drum here on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and like always, thank you for your listen.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.